Yes. I got to tell you, I remember going back a couple of years. You may remember us talking about it, the Panamanian Free Trade Agreement, and everyone saying, oh, well, you know, it's good, along with Colombia and South Korea. And I just got back from the Pennsylvania AFL-CIO's convention where 8 years ago I sat like 20 feet from then candidate Obama, where he said, you can trust me. I'm not going to pass these horrible trade deals. And, well, as we know, history is what it is. All three of them got passed. And I remember saying at the time, I'm against Colombia because they take union members and throw them out of planes, pull them off buses and shoot them in the head. I'm against the South Korean one because it's going to cost us a lot of jobs. And I'm against the one in Panama because of their banking laws. And here we find out what's happened. Well, the deaths in Colombia not stopping. We're getting killed on tubular steel from South Korea. And lo and behold, here we are, something with banking. And my favorite headline this week since the Panama leaks and the news that, well, surprise, Panama's a tax haven for the wealthy to hide their money from around the world without being taxed. My favorite headlines are Panama paper reveals people don't want to pay taxes. No kidding. The difference is you've got the wealthy who can then hire high-priced law firms to hide the money. And no matter what the rate, they're still going to do it. Here to talk about the recent news and, well, maybe what we don't know, our good friend Mateus Vernengo, professor of economics at Bucknell University and blogger at nakedkeynesianism.blogspot.com. Mateus, thanks for taking time for us.
Eric, thanks for having me.
So I go back to those conversations that we had years ago about the free trade agreement, saying banking was my problem, and lo and behold, wow, what do you know? Banking is a problem.
Yeah, and that goes also to something we discussed before too. That free trade agreements sometimes are not just about trade; they're about several other things. About in this case, the regulation of financial flows and how people can sort of move money around without regulation. And the protection it gives to corporations and in many cases in this case, you know, this law firm, what they did is they created shell firms, and so it gives cover to individuals but also to wealthy corporations to hide their money. That's essentially it.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. It's exactly it, because the one email that I saw from that law firm said, you know, 95% of the work we do is doing just that, creating vehicles and products and shell corporations and all that for people to not pay taxes.
Yeah. And it's important to remember also that U.S. has very low, I mean, despite all of the hoopla, that U.S. has a very high corporate tax rate. The effective tax rate in the U.S. is very low. We always hear in the news, you know, that, you know, whatever, some corporation paid, Pfizer paid zero, whatever it was, I don't remember which one.
GE paid zero
taxes and whatnot. So the effective tax rate is very low in the U.S. So the notion that tax havens are somehow needed because taxes in the U.S. are incredibly high is sort of fiction.
Yeah, it's like Pennsylvania here. You know, they talk about, you hear the Republicans screaming, oh, Pennsylvania has one of the highest net corporate income taxes in the free world. And then you find out we've got this little Delaware loophole thing where all you need is a P.O. box in Delaware, and it's a magic box that scrubs your profits clean and there are no taxes. Because the statistic that I saw that always blows me away, nearly three quarters of all the companies in Pennsylvania don't pay the tax.
Yeah, no, it's very simple. I was reading today, actually, 50% of the apartments of the, you know, residential homes bought in the U.S. Above $5 million, so we're talking people with money, are done by shell companies. So it's wealthy people that do not show their ownership, you know, so they can reduce their property taxes.
And their liabilities.
Yes, it's an amazing thing. It's widespread. By the way, in light of that, it's important to know that the U.S. is, you know, as you said, Delaware and apparently other states.
Nevada, Wyoming.
Exactly, and South Dakota. Those tend to be, you know, tax havens. So that's one of the reasons why in this Panama scandal, you know, the Panama Papers, you don't find many wealthy Americans or American politicians so far. You find many people from, you know, from other countries. Essentially, the one that has been on the media for the most part. I mean, there's the Prime Minister of Iceland that resigned, and David Cameron in the UK is in trouble too. But everybody's pointing out to the links to Vladimir Putin. So this is what's coming out of this, supposedly.
Yeah, and from what I saw coming out of the German news service that's doing this, or is that got these leaks, because someone had asked, why aren't there more U.S. companies? And they say, just hold on. There's more coming, because there was 11.5 million documents.
Well, there's something to be seen. I should say, I do, for obvious reasons, I'm from Latin America. I do read a lot of the Latin American press. And in the Latin American press, there is one particular thing about this leak that is different from others. So if you think of the stuff that has come out with WikiLeaks or with Snowden and stuff like that, we know exactly who was leaking this sort of stuff. And what we do not know about the Panama Papers is who did the leak. It's an anonymous guy. And in many places in Latin America, because it has hit people in lots of developing, parts of the developing world, that this might be a sort of an instrument to be used against exactly Putin and perhaps Xi Jinping, the leader in China. So
right.
So that this might be behind that sort of thing. I'm not sure that's the case, but obviously the U.S. has used so I don't know if you. Follow the Brazilian story. Brazil is in the middle of a corruption scandal, and all of the information about that was leaked by Edward Snowden. The U.S. government had been basically gathering information on the Brazilian oil company, and that was leaked to the opposition, and that's the basis of all of the political problems in Brazil. So the U.S. government is indirectly behind this. So there is a fear in many places that this leak comes from within the U.S. and that's why we're not seeing American, Americans in the list.
So maybe,
I wish we had more transparency on this.
Right.
The other is the German newspaper and this coalition of the center, the International Consortium of Investigative Journalists. So that's the sort of. It's a DC sort of think tank that it's sort of behind the analysis of all of these documents.
So maybe we should be reaching out to our friend John Perkins, who wrote the book Confessions of an Economic Hitman, to get his take on maybe where these leaks did come from.
Yeah. So it's sort of scary that the other thing is what we were saying. So there is another reason. Most U.S. corporations and wealthy individuals, anyways, they can do it at home. So it's onshore, not offshore, the tax haven, and so there is no need to get into this. But we know lots of stuff. And I don't mean this as necessarily. Well, I'm sure that almost all politicians. So Hillary, Bill, not necessarily Hillary, but Bill Clinton has had. Some money connected to his friend Ron Barklow. He has had some dealings with companies that are registered in the Cayman Islands. So almost every politician that has connections with Wall Street and stuff like that will have Chelsea Clinton's husband, Mervinsky. He's in a hedge fund that has multiple sort of. Holdings and firms that are in the Cayman Islands, so that's normal of a hedge fund. So I'm sure that there are several American politicians that are connected to all of this. The thing is that it's not news and we don't report it. It's part of everyday life. It has become accepted.
Yeah, but here's the thing. And look, you're absolutely right. The wealthy in this country have used these vehicles, have done this, have lobbied for it, have figured out how to allow it to exist. The question that I keep going back to is, how do we stop it? I mean, at some point, we keep hearing we need to lower taxes, and we keep doing that. We keep giving the wealthy more and more and more and more with the expectation that if we lower it enough, they'll stop doing this stuff. But the reality is unless the rate is zero, I don't ever foresee them trying to stop hiding what they've their money in that.
Well, the funny thing is that after the crisis in 2008, there was a crack on tax havens, and so it was made harder for tax havens to not comply with international rules and whatnot. And surprisingly, what that meant is that the U.S. has become sort of a more attractive tax haven, because the U.S. is the one not complying now. The U.S. is quite non-transparent in this regard. And so several corporations apparently are using the U.S. to create shell companies and whatnot. And this says something about what happened after the crisis. You see, when people say after the crisis, no, now we're re-regulated, we have Dodd-Frank, and we have all of these good things. Well, you know, there is a lot of stuff that we don't control. And this is an important one. And I think it's sort of a lie, this notion that because it goes, the notion is not just that we have high taxes, which we don't, but it's also the lower taxes would boost investment. And there is also a long track record of, you know, of evidence that shows that that's not true. So it's a question of making the political decision, which is very hard, because certainly the Republican Party is not for that, and a good chunk of the Democratic Party, it's the constituency of the Democratic Party too. So corporations and big business. So it's very hard for us to go back to an era in which we actually charge taxes, corporate taxes, but also higher taxes for the wealthy, I should say.
Right, because we hear that phrase quite often, and it's a bipartisan thing that if we cut taxes, they'll use that money to invest and create jobs here at home, and if we let them repatriate all this money they've been hoarding offshore, it'll be a boost to our economy. And I go, well, if I remember back in the Bush years, we did that. And we actually lost jobs and saw the money just kind of, divvied up against amongst the wealth class. I mean, we've seen the movie. Do we need to see it again?
Yeah, no, this is absolutely nuts. Don't get me wrong. I mean, what we do need in order to get the economy going again, it's quite the opposite. So we need to go and spend and generate infrastructure and bring back some of those jobs by spending. And by doing that and taxing high, as the income goes up, as we generate infrastructure and new jobs and so on and so forth, the tax revenue will go up. So there is this notion that for some reason, this old notion that was quite established up to the 60s at least, of the old tax and spend Democrat, that thing worked. And all the evidence in favor is that it did work, whereas the evidence since the 80s, actually, from these cut taxes and if you build it, they'll come. It's sort of magical realism. They never come.
Yeah, but at some point, don't we have to push back on that? Because I hear it all the time. Mateus, government doesn't create jobs.
Oh, that's silly. Obviously, the government creates jobs. Go ask the mailman. So that's absolutely silly. Not only it creates jobs, it creates the technology that moves this economy ahead, a good chunk of it. I mean, we can sort of listen to your radio show on the Internet, and the Internet is the result of government spending. It's a government program that created, the Defense Department, that created something they called ARPANET. And ARPANET connected basically computers that were working for the Defense Department in several universities. So no government spending, no internet, and imagine what we're talking in terms of productivity. And almost anything, you can go down the line, and you cannot think the American economy in the 19th century, the homesteaders, producing corn in the Midwest without the railroads, without the army. One may discuss the sort of ethnical and social implications, but without the army opening up the West for basically white folk to occupy it. So all of this was done by the state. The notion that the U.S. is an economy in which the state had no role is fiction. It's fiction used to actually undermine the people that need the government the most.
Excellent point. But let me ask you, let's go back to these Panama Papers for a minute, because you bring up some very interesting points. In the coming days and weeks, what should we be looking for? What are you looking for?
Well, one thing will be all of the list of peoples, but also the reactions within the American government. The American government has already said that they plan to match leaked data on Russia to the sanctions list, and so which reinforces the view that certain people have that this is basically done to undermine for geopolitical reasons certain enemies of the U.S. establishment. So that's something I would be looking. But I would be looking too as destabilizing in other places, which I think it's sort of unintended, you know. So the Prime Minister of Iceland has resigned. In Argentina, there is significant pressure on the president. You know, they found also the president of Pakistan, or the Prime Minister, I should say. They you know, they have Cameron also on the ropes in the UK. So there is possibly a lot of political instability related to that. I would be surprised if this does not become an issue between Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton in the next debate next week, because this brings to the fore a significant difference between them. The issue of how much we have to regulate finance and how much we can accept this sort of money from the very wealthy, and how that much that contaminates you know, your own policies. So I would be surprised if this doesn't have some impact in the U.S. So this may backfire for Hillary Clinton if this is brought up, because she is very close, not to the Panama Papers, and I don't necessarily expect to see her or any of the other candidates necessarily on this, but it may affect the tone of the election. I think that one of the things that has given sort of strength to Bernie Sanders is his attack on Wall Street, and I think that might have an impact on the election.
It's an interesting timing for the leak to come forward, and it'll be interesting how that plays out in that next debate, because, you know, I've been seeing the video circulating around of Bernie speaking out on the Senate floor against the Panamanian Free Trade Agreement and bringing this up.
Yes, exactly. And again, you know, for those that say that he was not prepared, here you have him against using judgment at the right time. So that's an important message. And again, even if he doesn't get the nomination, you know, which are, you know, it's open, and I think that will move the conversation within the U.S. It's an important thing. So from that point of view, I think that this will move the conversation, hopefully not just about Wall Street, but also about how the wealthy really don't pay taxes. You know, remember that Mitt Romney only at the end, he only gave 1 year of taxes, at which he had paid, I don't remember, something like 10% or 12% of his, don't quote me on this, but, you know, I remember it was very low. So and probably because he was paying even less before in the previous years, because he was using all of these schemes to sort of avoid paying.
That, as I said at the time, weren't illegal, just, in my view, wrong, and something that we should be, as a government, as a people, we should be stopping.
Exactly.
That simple. Mateus, I appreciate you taking time for us, giving us the lowdown. Thanks so much.
Oh, thank you.
If you want to check out the website, nakedkeynesianism.blogspot.com, just click on Mateus Vernango's name, take you right there. He's a professor of economics at Bucknell University. Let's take a quick break right back after this. Stick around. You listen to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.